Okay, today's daf is Yom Daf Tedvav. We're at the very bottom of Yud Dalet Amud Bet. We just said that there's a machloket between Abba Shaul and the Rabbanon in terms of what comes first, the Haktara or the Neirot. And Abba Shaul pointed out that the pasuk says, "Babok Baboker," every morning, but Tivoat and Neirot, when you set up the lamps, the candles, only afterward it says, "Yakti Rena," you burn the incense. It's a pretty good raya for a shita. For Rabbanon, my kama rachmana. So how do the Rabbanon understand what the pasuk is telling you here? But Yidon hatava dehe mikatar ketoret. The Rabbanon would understand that the pasuk is telling you that when you're setting up the lamps is the time of the burning of the incense. The incense should already be burning. Dilo te mahachi. If you don't understand it like this, right, that the pasuk is indicating that at the time of the haktara, because when you're setting up the candles, how do you understand the following pasuk, right? The ilote mahachi, ben harbayim, in terms of the afternoon, the avoda of the ben harbayim, of the afternoon, dichtiv, as it's written, uvaha alot aron et haneirot ben harbayim yaktirna, achinami, de beresha madlik neirot vahadar maktir ktorot shel ben harbayim. So according to the understanding of Abba Shaul, you'd have to say that the psukim in the afternoon also indicate that you... also indicate that you set up the candles and then burn the ketoret. Because it's written in the exact same way, that first says the candles and then the burning of the ketoret. Now, we, the Rabbanon, understand that to mean the same that you set up the candles while the ketoret is burning. Abba Shaul, however, understands that to mean that first you do the candles and then you burn the incense. But if you understand it like that in the morning, then based on the fact that the psukim are written the same way in the afternoon, you also have to say that in the afternoon. And if you want to say, sure, let's understand it that way in the afternoon. But didn't we learn an explicit braita? Me'erev ad boker, tein la midata, shetehedo leket v'olachet kol laila me'erev ad boker. Davar acher me'erev ad boker, en l'chavodah shekshir me'erev ad boker, elezo bilvad. We taught an explicit braita that says that the candles are going from the evening into the morning. And we taught that can mean one of two things. First of all, you have to give the candles enough oil that they can burn from the evening into the morning. And furthermore, we taught that this could also mean that there is no avoda that's kosher after doing the candles. The candles have to be the last avoda of the day. Because we taught that in a braita, we can't understand that the afternoon the ketoret is burnt after the candles, because nothing can be done after the candles. It must be the candles were last. But how could the candles be last? It's written about them, you do the candles, and then only afterward it's doing, you do the ketoret. Must be that when the Torah writes that you do the candles and then you do the ketoret, what that means today is that when do you do the candles at the time the ketoret is burning. So too by the morning, it also means that Elamai kamar rachmana ba'idon hadlaka tehem ekter ketoret hachinami ba'idon tava tehem ekter ketoret. So it seems to me that this way the pasuk writes that implies not that the candles come first, but rather the candles are done while the ketoret is being burnt. Abba Shaul omar lecha shani hatam dichtiv oto. Abba Shaul says, no, meaning your whole assumption is that if I say that about the morning, I have to say that in the afternoon. And because I can't say it in the afternoon, because of that bright that you quoted, so it can't be true, which case it also can't be true for the morning. Abba Shaul says, I can differentiate between the morning and the evening. I can agree with you that in the evening the candles have to be last, but in the morning they have to be, but in the morning they're first. And you may want to say, well, how can you differentiate? They're written in the same way. The pasuk indicates one in the morning, it indicates the same way in the afternoon. That's not necessarily the case. Because there's an extra word in the evening, right? And that's oto, which singles out that oto, this specific thing, the candles, need to be done last. That's not written in the morning. In which case, that extra word that I darshan out by the candles differentiates between the morning and the evening. Rav Papa Amar Lo Kasha. So Rav Papa now is going way back, because if you remember, we had two problems. The first problem was whether the candles came before the ketoret or the ketoret came before the candles. We answered that as being a machloket between Rabbi Shimon Isha Matzpeh and the Rabbanon. And then we posed a problem with that explanation based on whether it's the blood that interrupts the different candle arrangements, or whether it's the ketoret that interrupts the different candle arrangements. So Rav Papa now is going to go way back and just say, milchatchila, I never should have said that it was a machloket Rabbanan Rabbi Shimon Isha Matzpe. Milchadchila, I could have just said it was a machloket between Abba Shaul and the Rabbanan, and never would have gotten to that problem. How Rabbanan, how Abba Shaul? The Mayu came to Lamech Nitzin Dehacha Kirabbanan. Mpais Ki Abba Shaul. Well, wait 1 second, Rav Papa. Why did you see fit to assume that our Mishnah is talking about the Rabbanon, and then the Mishnah about the lotteries that indicates a different order of the Ketoret and the Neirot is according to Abba Shaul? Ema Seifa, because look at an even later Mishnah. If you lo et hatamid, kuratzo, umarek, achar shechit al yado, nichnas lach derek tektoret, lativ et anero. Later on Mishnah, it says that the Kohen would go in, he would burn the Ketoret, and then set up the candles. Which means that we're going back to the Rabbanan Shita. Atan Rabbanan Reisha, B'Sefer Rabbanan, Mitziata Abba Shaul. In which case, Rav Papa, if you want to say that the explanation of the contradictory Mishnayot is that the first one is Rabbanan, right, who indicates that the Ketoret comes before the Neirot. And the last one is the Rabbanan, who indicates that the Ketoret is before the Neirot. And the middle one is Abba Shaul, who indicates that the Neirot is before the Ketoret. So you have a problem, right? Because our Mishnah has no consistency, right? First you go to the Rabbanan Shita, then you teach it according to Abba Shaul Shita, which is contradictory, and then you teach it according to the Rabbanan Shita. There's no consistency there. Amar Lachar Papa, in Reisha B'Sefer Rabbanan, Mitziata Abba Shaul. Our Papa says, in Achinami, that is what we're forced to conclude. That's the most reasonable way to read our Mishnayot, even though it seems that we're going back and forth between different Shitas. Bishlama by Lo Amar Lachar Papa. Okay, well now we basically have two answers. Right? Abaye says that when we spoke about the Haktara coming first, we meant that it comes before the final two candles. And when we spoke about the Haktara coming second, we meant it came after the first five candles. That's how Abaye resolves the steer in the Mishnayot. I mean, he doesn't attribute it to different shitas. Doesn't attribute it to different shitas. And just to clarify, because I said a moment ago that Rav Papa was responding to the establishment of this being a machloket between Rabbi Shimon Matzpe and the Rabbanan. What I should have said is he was responding to Abaye, who resolved the stira of what comes first, the Neirot or the Ketoret, by being two candles to five candles. Right? So Abaye resolves it in that way, and Rav Papa resolves it in attributing it to different shitas. Okay, so two different answers. Now, I understand why Abaye doesn't hold like Rav Papa. Why? Because Abaye didn't want to say that the first Mishnah follows the Rabbanan, the last Mishnah follows the Rabbanan, and the middle of the Mishnah follows the Abba Shaul. It's tachuk. It's not so pashut to explain that way. That's why Abaye says that we're talking about a difference between five candles and two candles. Right? Hello, Rav Papa, my time lo amar ka Abaye. But why did Rav Papa not explain it like Abaye? It seems to me that his shita was perfectly reasonable. Amar lach, he would say to you, Rav Papa would say to you, Tana Bereisha hatavat shtei nerot, v'hadar hatavat chamesh nerot. Because, which Mishnah comes first? The one that talks about the two candles or the five candles? We first teach the two candles, right? And then we teach the five candles. Right? Meaning, the Mishnah that says that the Ketoret comes first, before the candles, that Abaye says was talking about the two candles, that's the first Mishnah talk. The Mishnah about the five candles, which Abaye says is when it says the Ketoret is afterward, is the second Mishnah talk. But that's out of order, because what comes first, the five candles or the two candles? If Abaye was correct, that the way to understand the Mishnayot is when it says the Ketoret is first, it's before the second two candles, right? And when it says the Ketoret is second, it's after the first five candles, right? Then the logical way to teach those Mishnayot would be to teach, you have five candles which comes before the Ketoret, Mishnah 1. You have two candles that come after the Ketoret, Mishnah 2. That's the logical seder. So the first Mishnah should talk about the Ketoret coming after the candles. The second Mishnah should talk about the candles coming after the Ketoret. That's how it should have been taught, but it wasn't. First it said the Ketoret came first, and then it said the Ketoret came second. That's out of order if you understand this as a not as a machloket in cheetahs, but a machloket in, or a difference of what, of which stage we're talking about, after the five candles or before the two candles. That's why Rav Papa doesn't want to say like Abaye, because it taught it out of order. Abaye would respond to you, it's not a problem that it was taught out of order. It wasn't even taught out of order. Right? The first Mishnah was not talking about the Seder. He was talking about the different avodas. It wasn't necessarily listening in Seder. The next Mishnah, we're actually clearly talking about the order. So the Tana wasn't medayik to say everything in accordance with the order. Right? The two candles should have been taught after the five candles. No, it's not a problem. He's just listing the different avodot. Here, when he's talking about the order, he lists in the proper order. Gufo, let's return to something that we mentioned earlier. Ba lo lekeren mizrachit tzfonit. He comes to the north east corner, noten mizrachit tzfonit, and he puts it in the northeast corner. Ma'arvit dromit, noten ma'arvit dromit. Comes to the southwest corner and puts it on the southwest corner of Atani Allah, and it was taught on this, Rav Shimon Ish Hamatzpe Mishana Batamin, that Rav Shimon Ish Hamatzpe teaches it differently. Balo Lekeren Mizrachi Tzvoni, Notin Mizrachi Tzvoni, Marvi Dromi, Notin Marava, Vacharkach Notin Droma. First he comes to the northeast corner and puts it on the northeast corner, then he comes to the southwest corner and puts it on the south, and then puts it on the west. So, or the west and then on the south. So we have to understand, just some technicalities in the halachot of putting blood on the mizbeach we're not familiar with. But there was a lot of specificity in terms of where and how the blood was put on. And different korbanot require different things. So let's just understand a couple basic distinctions. First of all, sometimes you took blood, and you put it on the corner of two different sides, and you let the blood drip down to both of its sides. You put it on the southwest corner, and then it drips to the south and to the west. Right? That's called a a one placing of blood that is like two placements of blood, because you put it in one place, but it drips to two places. Right? There's another type of sprinkling of the blood where you actually put it on both walls. You take the blood, you put it on the western wall, then you put it on the southern wall. That's called two placements, which is like two placements. So there's one placement, which is like two, and two that's like two. Similarly, some korban would have two, which is four, and four, which is four. Meaning if you do it on both opposite corners, then you put it on all four walls with two placements. Alternatively, you actually have to put it on all four walls, and that's four placements, which is four placements. That's just a basic distinction. It's just a basic methodology in placements of blood on the Mizbeach. Are we putting it on the corner, which is then going to two walls, or are we actually putting on different two walls, and there's a difference in terms of which korban we're doing. Also, there was a dividing line halfway up the Mizbeach. Sometimes you had to put it on the upper half, and sometimes you had to put it on the lower half. Finally, there was something called the base of the Mizbeach, which is like a strip of the that's adjacent to the Mizbeach, adjacent and connected to the Mizbeach. And some korbanot require you to put it both on the Mizbeach and on the base. But the base was only close to some sides. It wasn't surrounding the entirety of the Mizbeach. Now that we understand a little bit of technicalities in terms of the placements of the blood on the Mizbeach, we can understand these Mishnah a little bit better. My time with Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpeh. Why? What's the Svara for Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpeh? Why do they make things complicated? You go to the northeast corner, you put it on the north on the northeast corner, it drips down to the north to the east. You go to the southwest corner, according to the Mishnah, it says put it on the southwest, and it's going to drip to the south and the west. Rabbi Shimon Ish HaMitzpeh says, no, there you go to the southwest corner, you put it on the south, and then you put it on the west. Why does it differentiate between the first time you put it on the corner and it drips, and the second time you do two individual placements? What's his svara? I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishun Chad Debe Rabbi Yana. So Rabbi Yochanan said the name of a certain student in the academy of Rabbi Yana. Amar Kra, here's his svara for differentiating. Because the Torah says like this, Usi'irizim Echad L'chatat L'Hashem Al Olat Tamid Yasev Nisko. Says one goat for a chatat, in addition to the Ola, which you bring. Olahi. Now, the Korban Tamid, right? We're talking about Tamid Yasev Nisko, right? We're talking about a Korban Tamid, right? We know that the Korban Tamid is a Korban Ola. V'am Rahmana Avid Ba'amaseh Chata. But the Torah says that, what? Usi'irizim Echad L'chatat L'Hashem Alolat Tamid. That you have to do the Korban Ola like you would do a Korban Chatat? I'm confused. Is it an Ola or is it a Chatat? The Korban Tamid is an Ola. Why does the Torah say to treat it like a Chatat? Ke'aketzad. So how exactly do you treat a korban ola like a korban chata? Noten echad shehishtayim kimase ola. Shtayim shen shtayim kimase chatat. Because by the ola, we do the following procedure. Echad shem shtayim. We put it on the corner, it trips down to both walls. By korban chata, you do the following. Shtayim shem shtayim. You actually have to put it on the individual walls. So because the Torah seems to tell me to treat a korban tamid, which is an ola, like a chatat, I have to treat it in some ways like an ola, in some ways like a chatat. The way that I treat it like an ola is I put it on the corner and it drips down. The way that I treat it like a chatat is that the next placement I put it on each wall respectively. Vilitein shtayim jehen arba kimase ola v'arba jehen arba kimase chatat. Well, why do you split it in half? Right? Do two, which is four, on both corners, like a proper full korban ola, and then do four, which is four, meaning on every single wall, like the full, like in full accordance with the korban chata. Because we don't see a case where you take the blood and you do the full performance of one action of the korban ola, and then the blood works, and then you do a full performance of the second one in accordance with the chata. There we have it. Meaning, the blood has to still be in the game here. But we can't finish with it and do everything we're supposed to do with it, and then go ahead and do a different korban action once we already completed the first korban. That would be too odd. That would be too... We've never seen that, where you just do two full korban with one blood. Well, now that you're bringing up precedent, we don't find a case where you do a full avoda of one blood and then a full avoda of a different korban with the same blood. Do we see a case where you first do half of one avoda and then half of the other avoda? Ela al korchan hikisha nakatuv achanami al korchan hikisha nakatuv. Just like you're saying, what can we do? We have to do half and half because what the pasuk says. So to say here, like, what can we do? The pasuk says to do it. We don't have precedent for it. Neither one we have precedent for. But you got to do it. Hatam pisuk matanu ba'almahi. No. There's a much bigger distinction. Because in the case where you put the blood on the two walls, you're doing it almost entirely like a korban ola with a small difference. Right? But your suggestion is to do two different avodot entirely. That's a much bigger differentiation from the norm. V'neiti v'chad jehi shtayim l'mata kemase ola, shtayim shen shtayim l'mala kemase chatat. Well, why don't you do as follows, right? Do one, which is two, on the bottom half of the mizbeach, like it, the ola is put on the bottom half, and then shtayim shen shtayim l'mala, right? Kemase chatat. And then you put two, which is two, meaning on each wall, on the top half of the mizbeach, like the maase chatat. Lo matzim dam v'shechatzin l'mala v'chatzin l'mata. Well, we never see, we never see an instance where blood is put half on the upper half of the mizbeach and half on the lower half of the mizbeach. Right? So we don't differentiate in that way. Below, we don't, but none. Didn't we teach in a Mishnah? Hizeh mimenu achad l'mala v'shev l'mata. The Kohen sprinkles one on top and then seven below. Seemingly, we do have an instance where you can put the same blood both on the upper half of the Mizbeach and on the lower half of the Mizbeach. Kimatzlif, my Kimatzlif, Machvi Rav Yehuda Minagdana. That you have to, the Mishnah there means that the Kohen has to do it like a matzlif, which Rav Yehuda explains to mean like a whip. Meaning, when we say up top and on bottom, we don't mean to divide between the halves of the Mizbeach, that you do all of them on one half, that you do some of them on the top half and some of them on the bottom half. Rather, it's like a whip. What do you mean like a whip? Well, when administering the 40 lashes, they were careful not to whip one person in the same place twice. You shouldn't hit a wound with it, with the whip. Rather, you do it in different places. So, what it means, the Kohen does not differentiate between the top half and the bottom half, but you start with the top and then you go progressively downward. Below. Well, still, have we not found such a case? That's none. Didn't we teach in a Mishnah? He's amenu al taharo shel mizbeach shev pamim, that you sprinkle on the tahar of the mizbeach seven times. My love, apalge the mizbeach. Right? Now, doesn't that mean that the tahara of the mizbeach is the halfway point of the mizbeach? Kida amri inchi tahar tihara. Hu palgadiyoma, as people say, that the tahar tihara, the purity has come
and they're referring to the halfway point of the day, in which case, because people use the word tahara to refer to the middle, we assume that we assume that the tahara mizbeach is the middle of the mizbeach. And what does it mean that you're putting seven sprinklings of blood in the middle of the mizbeach? Well, some of them are going to be on the top, and some of them are going to be on the bottom. Rav Shila lo. Rav Shila says, no, that's not what we mean by v'taher. That's not what we mean by tahara mizbeach. Agufei de mizbeach dechlil ke'etzem ha'shamayim la'tahor. Rather, just means you have to put it on the Mizbeach itself, meaning a cleared off space on the Mizbeach. As it says, Ketem HaShemayim LaTahor, the clarity that it's going to be clear as the heavens, clear as the sky. Right? So it just teaches you that you can't put it on top of things that are already on the Mizbeach, just put it on the Mizbeach itself, that someone has to come and clear out the way. Maishna di Yahiv Ola Beresha, Vahadar Yahiv Chatat, Native Beresha, the Chatat, Vahadar Native de Ola. Still, why are we assuming that first you do the sprinkling of the Ola, which is on the corner that drips down, as opposed, and then the chata second, which is on the individual walls. You should do the chata first and the ola second. Kivan the ola he kad b'bereisha. No, because really, in essence, this korban is a korban ola, and it just, we just have to do something chatat about it. So you start with the ola. Umayish b'diahiv mizrachit tzvonit, mariv dromit, native dromit mizrachit, v'hadat tzvonit marvit. Why do you start with the mizrachit tzvonit corner, and then you go to the Maravit Dromit? Maybe you should start with the Maravit Dromit and then go to the Mizrachit Tzvonit, meaning let it drip down on the southwest corner and then put on the north and the east. Amri, Ola Te'una Yisod, V'keren Dromit Mizrachit Lo Havale Yisod. Because the Korban Ola needs you to put it on the Yisod. You need to do a sprinkling on the Yisod of the Mizbeach as well, the base of the Mizbeach, and the southwest corner doesn't have a Yisod. It doesn't have... that's why you had to come to the northeast corner. The southwest corner doesn't have the base of the Mizbeach. The northeast corner is adjacent to the base of the Mizbeach. That's why we went there first. Maishnu diayiv bereisha mizrachit tzvonit, v'hadar ma'arvit dromit, native bereisha ma'arvit dromit, v'hadar mizrachit tzvonit. Sorry, I'm realizing now that I explained the previous part, I just read it wrong, really. It's, why is it that we're coming to the northeast and the southwest? Why can't we come to the, southeast and the northwest, right? Mimela, we're coming to opposite corners, but why not southeast and northwest? And we answered, because the southeast corner doesn't have a base, right? The northeast corner has a base, the southeast corner doesn't have a base, we can't go there, right? And then we asked, Maishu v'diayi b'reishu mizrachit tzvonit v'hadu marvit dromit, neitiv b'reishu marvit dromit v'hadu mizrachit tzvonit. Then we ask, well, why do you start with the northeast and then go to the southwest? So maybe you should start with the southwest and then go to the northeast. Kivan da'amar mar, right? As Mar taught, kol pino cha'ata pone lo yehu ela derech yamin l'mizrach. That wherever you go to the mizbeach, you cannot turn left, right? You always have to turn right. In which case, all of your turns have to be right angles. Bereisha ba'hu paga, right? And so, when you walk into the mizbeach, the northeast corner is going to be the first one that you encounter when you turn right. B'mai be'olahu dekama rachmana avid b'maseh chatat, v'dilma b'chatat hu dekama rachmana avid maseh ola. How do you know that this is an ola that you have to do a chatat action for? Maybe it's a chatat that you have to do an ola action for. Lo salakadai tachna, you shouldn't think that. Dechtiv alola chatamid yaseh v'nisko. It says that you do the ola tatamid, it and its libations. My kam rachmana midichatat shadi a ola. Right? Clearly, you do it as an ola. Right? It says the korban is an ola. So clearly, the chatat is just a side point of it. But the korban itself needs to be an ola. Tana nahata, a related subject. Related subject. We're talking about here. The Mishnah teaches amar lehem hamimunet uveviu talem lishkat beit atlai. Whoever is the appointed kohen at the time says, go bring a lamb from the chamber of lambs. V'halo lishkat etzlai ma'itav miktzat tzvonit marvit. Isn't the lamb located in the northwest corner? V'arba lishachot hayusham, and there are four chambers there. Echad lishkat etzlai, one was the chamber of lambs. V'echad lishkat achotamot, one was the lishka of signed papers, right? That's to say that the proper libations were brought, and then you show that you bought the libations, and then you can use that to redeem it. V'chad lishka beit hamoked, and one is the chamber of the fire. V'chad lishka she'osim ba lechem apanim. And one of the chambers was the chamber that they made the lechem apanim. Okay, Uraminu. However, a contradiction to that Mishnah is as follows. Arba lishkadayu lebeit hamoked. Four chambers opened up to the chamber of fire. Kitoniot haptuchot lit truckli. Right? Like four small rooms that are opened up to one large room. Shtayim bekodesh, shtayim bechol. Two of the chambers were consecrated, were considered kodesh, and two of them were unconsecrated. V'roshei pispesim mavdilim ben kodesh lechol. And there were posts that separated between the consecrated and unconsecrated chambers. Mehayu mishamishot. And what were these chambers used for? Ma'arvit dromit, the southwest chamber. Hi haita lishkat tla'e korban. That was the lamb corner, the corner with the lambs. Dromit Mizrachit, the southeast corner, he lishka shayu osim balechem apanim. Right, that is the chamber that they would make the lechem apanim. Mizrachit Svoni, the northeast corner, ba ganzu bet chashmonai avnei mizbeach she shiktzu malchei ovdei kochavim. That was the chamber that the members of the chashmonai hid away the precious stones that were used for idolatry when they were taken over. Svonit ma'arvit. And the south, on the northwest chamber by Yordin Lamech Tvila, that is where they would go to do the Tvila, where they go use the mikvah. What we see from here is there's a contradiction. Is the lamb chamber in the northwest corner, or is it in the southwest corner? Amar Rav Huna, Man Tana Midot. Who is the one who taught the Mishnah in Midot? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So in Achinami, there's a stira, but it's not a problem because the Mishnah taught in Midos is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. It's not the same author of the Mishnah in Tamid. Okay, we're going to stop here.